The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Beyond, and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, IGN's weekly PlayStation show in the brand new year. Can we wish you a happy new year? Is it too late for that? That's what we're going to be debating for the rest of the show, just a whole solid 50 minutes on proper happy new year etiquette, because that's what we were talking about before the show. But in addition to that, we will be talking about PlayStation, because there is a lot of exciting PlayStation 5 and hopefully 4 news to look forward to in 2021. But before we get to all of that, I'm joined this week by Brian Altano.
Hello and happy new year.
You said it. Yeah,
I'm saying it.
We're going a lot of back and forth before the show on whether it's right to still do. I'm, for reference for anyone who writes emails these days, I'm ending every sentence in an exclamation point. We're also joined this week by Max Scoville.
Hello and happy new year.
Happy new year to you as well, Max. And we're joined this week by special guest Ray Apollo. Thank you so much for joining us, Ray. Happy to have you here.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and happy Tuesday.
There we go.
That's how you do it without pissing anyone off. That is the happy holidays of happy new year.
Yeah. Ray, we are very, very happy new year to have you here today. So it's going to be a great show.
Tuesday to you too.
A Tuesday to us all. Ray, for those who may not know you, do you want to give a little bit of intro for those watching or listening? Where can people find you on the webs and the websites and such? And what are you up to these days?
Well, I exist on the internet. So I work at Twitch as a community marketing specialist full time, but I'm also a content creator. I love to talk about video games, anime, manga, and just and generally try to have a good time on the internet, because there's all enough of nasty negative stuff out there. So I just try and put as much good out there as I can. So I'm just Ray Apollo, you know, and that's two L's, kind of like the Creed, but we have a good time, and I won't throw in the towel, trust me. So.
Are there people that spell it Ray Apollo like the
really?
Sweater?
You would be surprised.
Really?
Every time it was like, oh look, it's Ray Apollo. And I'm like, no, no, it's Apollo, but thanks.
Because that never even crossed my mind is to
same.
Everybody goes to the Pollo first. And I'm like, wow.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, whether we're here to talk about chicken or Apollo Creed, I had chicken for lunch. I love the Creed film, so it really works out. This is all, you know, my favorite subjects to discuss. But no, Ray, we're happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. Very excited to get into the episode. Before we do, did just briefly want to mention Lucy is off this week. She'll be joining us soon, so fear not. Lucy will return shortly. But also, I wanted to say just a huge thank you to the very, very warm reception to our Bloodborne Let's Play episode that we put out at the end of last year. It was last week, but it was the end of the year. Thank you so much to everyone who's watched, who said kind words on Twitter and everywhere about it. We recorded that for reference for people who maybe haven't watched yet. We recorded that back in March, very beginning of March, before we were never allowed to see each other in person again. And we're really excited to get back to the studio and kept being really excited to get back to the studio and never could. So we wanted to put that out at the end of the year. We are trying to figure out ways to continue it because it was so much fun and we want to continue it. And I loved playing Bloodborne, so I want to keep going forward.
This is actually a really messed up thing to do, is to like get you hooked on Bloodborne and then be like, you are not allowed to play it
couldn't play
for 9 months. Like you've beaten Demon Souls since then.
I beat Demon Souls. I'm on Dark Souls Remastered right now. Yeah, like I needed a fix because there was a good month or two after where I was like, can I play on an alt account and maybe just like fake it after a while that I never played Bloodborne? But like I've waited and haven't played because I loved it. It was such a fun show. Like obviously I don't want to speak for you guys, Brian and Max, but like I think we all had a pretty good time with that recording and it was such a blast. So I'm hoping we are able to record a second episode soon.
Yes, I agree. It sucks that we couldn't do that for like a year, but we should be able to do that again. We'll figure something out. But yeah, first episode's up.
Absolutely.
Ray, you play Bloodborne?
Yeah, I love Bloodborne. Never finished it, but I love it.
See, you know? this is a good
How far did you get?
I got to, if I remember, I had just beat Pearl. Is it Pearl?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was
the big electric horse that lives.
Yes, and that was like, I've done enough. I'm done.
So, I respect that. I'm gonna
go back at some point and finish it, especially now that we have it in the collection. I can go back and try again, maybe. So.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And we do, speaking of the PlayStation Plus collection, we have some interesting factoids from a listener or viewer at home. But before we get to that, I do want to mention just a brief bit of news to touch on. There hasn't been any, I would say, world-shaking PlayStation news since the year began. But, you know, we record this the day before the show goes up, so I'm sure there will be tonight after we record. But they're currently available now for PlayStation Plus. Maneater for PS5, which is the Shark PG. Where you play as a shark and get to eat a bunch of other animals and people if you'd like.
Please download that game. That game is really fun. That game is stupidly fun. I had an absolute blast with it. It's also like, it's one of those things that like, if I had paid full price for it, which I believe it was always kind of budget price, but I would have been a little bit like, it's not the best game ever made. But like to just have it on PS Plus, this is exactly what you need. This is a perfect January game. Sit around, just shut your brain off, and tear up all the men trying to
swim. This feels like a game you would have bought, like used with a gift card that your aunt gave you in January, and you'd be like, I give it a shot. And then like 30 hours later, you're like, oh, I gave it a shot, you know? Like, you just kind of go with it.
I ate everything. It was great.
It's so fun. It's like aggressively like 90s. Kenner Batman action figure. There's just like nonsense. You just get like electric, you know, and stone grills for your shark.
Makes no sense.
It's great.
The whole thing bizarre. Is like it's narrated by Chris Parnell too. Like frame it as like a nature documentary. Please give that game a shot. It's a stupid good time. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it is. I totally agree with you guys. It's one of those games where it feels like of the AA publisher that's kind of disappeared, like the Midways and THQ, former THQs, as we were discussing before the show, feels like something they would have put out. So it's very cool to have, and yeah, it's a ton of fun and a really relatively easy platinum because it's not a massive game. It's kind of sort of like, it's an RPG, but it's sort of like South Park Stick of Truth, and that is
RPG. Bite-sized?
Yeah, I'll go with that. I like it. I'll go with that for sure.
Would you say it's easy to finish?
They've begun.
Would you say that you can easily sink your teeth into it?
Anyway, Greedfall and Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I got a question. Does Greedfall have moray eels in it? Do we know this?
Ooh,
because if it has moray eels, that means that every game on PlayStation Plus has moray eels in it.
Wait, what? Really?
Are there moray eels in
there probably are. I've searched Greedfall moray eels on Google, and Google told me it looks like there aren't many great matches for your search.
Congratulations, you're the first person to ever Google.
Get them on Twitter. Let's get them in the game.
We're going to start a new petition to get moray eels.
Isn't that spiders? Did they do that?
I think. Yeah, spiders.
Yeah, spiders. I haven't played it. I know a couple people on staff fell like pretty hard for it when it first came out, and then it sort of like fell off the radar. But I've heard it scratches that itch of sort of like the Dragon Age RPG sort of motive.
I miss like hosting E3 and doing interviews for that game, and then just being like, and coming up next, we're interviewing the CEO of Spider.
More developers need wacky names.
Yeah, right.
It's so much fun to say them in interviews. But yeah, and then also Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is fun, but definitely I think the least good of the three Tomb Raider of the modern trilogy.
In my opinion. I haven't played. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Do we know there are eel? I played that game. Are there eels in that game?
Yeah.
I know there's eels in the first one.
They put the most eels in the third one.
The most eels.
Yeah. There are so many eels in that one.
Okay. That was the box? It was a back of the box quote.
The most eels. You have to
do like eel stealth.
Eel stealth. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
It sounds stupid, but it's in the game. That's an actual thing. We have to hide in grass underwater, which makes no sense.
Nope, it does not.
Oh yeah. God. That's this is so wonderfully off the rails. I love it. That was you did that in Assassin's Creed Black Flag also. It's like there's a shark coming at you, and then you just kind of like go into an underwater bush for like 2 seconds, and it's like, where did you go? I don't know. Anyway, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, pretty fun, but if you want more Tomb Raider, it is more Tomb Raider, but I think the story doesn't serve Lara as well as Rise did. Which
there's a photo mode though, and you can take pictures with llamas.
Photo mode is great in there. Yeah,
actually I broke NDA. I didn't break NDA because I didn't publish it, but when that game I got that game early, and I took a picture of like a llama's ass, and I sent it to Max, and then another picture of me just basically like Lara Croft was just like this next to this one dude who had his old butt out. So if you guys want my phone number, that's the kind of this stuff you would get if we were friends.
Red, if you can just
Ray, we can I'll send you some llama pictures.
Red, if you can just put Brian's number, you know, at the bottom of the screen for everyone to text after, that'll be great. Anyway, perfect. Thank you. Those are of course free for PlayStation Plus for the month. But speaking of games you probably can't download on your PlayStation right now, again, unless something changes in the next 24 hours, is Cyberpunk. And I did briefly want to mention this because this, of course, dropped literally the day after we recorded our last episode. We even recorded an extra episode, and still this news came out the day after. But currently still, Cyberpunk 2077 is delisted from the PlayStation Store. And if you had purchased it before that point in December, you were able to request a refund. Sony had put up a page basically about this at the end of a day in December. It was at like 6 p.m., which for reference, we had looked at the clock when it came up. It was like 2 a.m. where the CDPR devs are. So they were clearly not awake when this all went down at first. But they're offering full refunds for anyone who purchased the game on PlayStation. It's still unavailable, and we don't know what the qualifications for it to be relisted on the PSN are. So effectively, Cyberpunk is a console exclusive for Xbox currently, which is a weird way to start the year. They finally fixed their console exclusivity problem. Congrats.
Well, you can technically still purchase the physical versions.
Yes. Yeah.
Of the game.
Yeah, and they are.
I cannot, because I have an all digital PS5 with Cyberpunk installed, which just feels like the 2020 remix of PT, but way less interesting.
Yeah,
that's a very expensive PlayStation you got.
Yeah, hyper rare. I'm gonna put it on eBay for about $45,000.
Yeah,
probably get it sadly.
Join that scalper life, you know. See what that's all about. Do that. Never.
2020, we were bemoaning and decrying the scalper way of life. In 2021, we're fully embracing it. That's
why not?
It's our New Year's resolution is to scalp more. Yeah. Sell more things for illicit means.
I did want to just bring this up, just sort of to hear from all of you. Brian, I know in the aftermath of that news dropping, because it was like at 6 p.m. or whatever, you jumped on a video to record for us, and you and the news video team were able to put something together. But this was like, there is nothing I can compare this having happened to, and the fact that it is still delisted. Like, PT is entirely in a different field because it was a free playable teaser. There were obviously like dev issues with Kojima and Konami and everything, but like this was Sony just being like, "Nah, we're not going to lose more money on this. It's being delisted."
Yeah, no, I think like food metaphors are generally lazy, which is why I use them a lot. But I think that like this is basically like you put out like raw chicken and a bunch of bites of it. Like on PS4, this is raw chicken. I'm sorry, like this has to go back in the oven for a while. And that sucks because it's like this is a studio that already crunched a lot to get where they are. We don't know exactly who forced this scenario to happen to begin with in terms of like launching the game buggy. I've been pretty open about the fact that I feel like it's very scummy that they had this version from fans and from press, and then subsequently had it pulled down by PlayStation, which I believe happened because they were probably just inundated with calls like to just a week before Christmas have this massive, massive game drop that is just riddled with problems, and then tell your, you know, your customer support line at PlayStation, hey, you have to crunch now. Like, that sucks. And so I think the logical thing to do is what they did, which is pull it down, refund people. There is a refund system in place on Xbox as well. That's pretty prevalent if you go to there's like a bunch of different sort of like store pages on Xbox where like you can even look at new games or redeem codes or something like that. And there's giant warnings on there being like, hey, by the way, you can refund Cyberpunk if you want to. But yeah, this is I don't actually see this being relisted for PS4 anytime soon, because I think the problems in this game run much deeper than just a few patches. And they've, you know, in traditional CDPR fashion, have patched this game a lot. I actually noticed like very weirdly wavering performance issues where in between patch 3 and 4, things seem pretty smooth. And then he patched again and things got worse. I've played about 50 hours of this game on PS5. So I feel like pretty well versed and able to talk about what works and what doesn't work. And I know that on PS4, like, it is a completely different game. It's just not a system that can support the vision of what this game is right now. And thus it shouldn't have been sold as that. Like, you know, I see a lot of people shaming people with last gen hardware. That's the bulk of PS4 sold. You know, we're launch PS4s, not the PS4 Pro, not the PS5. And so, you know,
this is a PS4 game. That's the thing that, yeah, like, you cannot buy this game for PS5. It does not exist as a SKU for that. It's not a PS4 Pro game. It's a PS4 game. Mm-hmm. Like it. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's even a sticker on the box that say like, play it better on PS5 or something.
No, yeah. I think it says, well, their marketing said something like plays great. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Which,
oops.
Only plays great.
Oh, yeah. Only plays pretty okay, mostly, except for the fact that I've probably had 45 full-on game crashes. Ooh, on PS5.
I don't know. I honestly avoided buying it on PlayStation because of what I saw. I was like, well, I don't want to subject myself to that frustration. Yeah. And so I just didn't, to be completely honest.
You made the right call.
A lot of people were like, oh, well, what'd you buy for it? To be very honest with you, I bought it on Stadia. And I know that's what's wrong with that guy? I mean, yeah, I bought it on Stadia and it worked. And I can enjoy the game that I bought, which is nice.
And it
sucks for the folks that were truly anticipating this game and were really excited to play it. And then they got it on their PlayStation and legitimately could not play it, because that's one of the worst feelings.
You're part of like a very like small but vocal group of people who have just kind of quietly this whole time been like, hey, don't make fun of me, but I bought the Stadia version and it works perfectly and it's awesome and it's got like the best graphics possible.
I don't have to worry about it there.
It doesn't crash.
I just play it and it's like, what a novel concept, right?
This is such a weird, like, just a 180 from the initial, and this isn't a Stadia show, and I know that people are still kind of, they have the reservations about it, but like,
right,
the whole issue going into that was people like, I want to own my games. I don't want to pay money for a game that I don't own. And then this game comes out that everyone wants to own, and the only place you can enjoy it properly is on a platform where you can't own it properly. And everywhere else, you're like, please make me stop owning this game and give me my money back.
It doesn't also help that the Google services also went down the next day. You couldn't play it. But yeah, you know, it's fine.
What we've learned, I think, is definitely there is no perfect platform.
Right.
I think the perfect platform would be like mid-2021. You know, like that would be a good... Maybe it's a game of the future, then we're playing it today. Yeah.
This episode of Podcast Beyond is brought to you by NordVPN, a great way to protect yourself online while also improving your overall experience while enjoying cyberspace. Are you tired of streaming shows, movies, or sporting events being unavailable in your region due to draconian restrictions that are based on completely arbitrary geographical boundaries in physical meat space? Well, switch your virtual location to a place where that's no longer an issue. The same goes for shopping. You can get the best possible deal on subscriptions, flights, hotels, and other goods and services like that from websites that like to play favorites with certain territories and currencies. Meanwhile, encrypted traffic protects your data from hackers, viruses, malware, phishing sites, and other harmful hitchhikers of the information superhighway. Though really, it's more of an information autobahn, because there is no speed limit with NordVPN. It is the fastest VPN in the world, so there won't be any buffering or lagging, and it'll stop your ISP from throttling your bandwidth. Isn't that nice?
One NordVPN account can be used across six devices, which is great. My wife has been using our account to watch all sorts of awful British reality TV shows that aren't available here, like Argument Island or Half Naked Idiots Fall in Love, and everyone's favorite, The Worst People Just Got Married, Let's Hear Them Talk About It. Shows that are so bad they're blocked in our part of the world for our own good, but luckily, NordVPN allows her to trick the internet into thinking she's in the UK, so she and her awful friends can shriek and howl and cackle at the TV while I'm trying to relax. I've been using my VPN too. You know what I've been using it for? None of your business. Yep, that's right. And thanks to NordVPN, my data is safely encrypted, all bundled up in a weighted security blanket of incomprehensibly complex math problems, and nobody can tell what it's doing under there. Data, you do your thing. I'll leave you alone. 1 month of NordVPN coverage costs less than a cup of coffee. Coffee can't protect you from cybercriminals unless you throw it at them or pour it on their computers, and you'll probably get in trouble for doing that. So get NordVPN instead. To get the best possible discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/pobeyond. That link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, that is nordvpn.com/pobeyond. And now, back to the show.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Yeah, it's I think, and I don't want to take words out of your mouth, Brian, but I do definitely think it's worth pointing out. Obviously, when we're talking about these, like, the frustration decisions of putting this game out when it shouldn't have been put out lie with the company and the executives there who obviously, clearly, based on the reporting we have seen, just didn't listen to the developers.
Yes.
And didn't see or really. Maybe even like didn't want to see the warning signs. It seems to be what we've learned is essentially they told us it. Executives were saying it plays amazingly. It plays surprisingly well on the last generation base consoles. It played surprisingly, just not well. And it was it is a absolutely frustrating experience for both the developers and the players who, as you said, the bulk of PlayStation players have base PS4s, not Pros or PS5s.
Yeah, that's why I can't get with this hardware shaming that I've been seeing. I mean, it's first of all, like it's essentially classist because you're making fun of people for not owning like a $1,500 PC or a consistently sold out next gen console. Like that shouldn't be on the average player to have to cope with. There are plenty of cross gen games that work and play beautifully on PS4 and PS4 Pro. And like Sony launched a few of them, over the break or like alongside PS5. Like nobody, Miles Morales on PS4, nobody was like, it ate my save file, or like the dude, he fell through the city and never came back. Like, there's
he just turned into a puddle sometimes, but that happened on PS5 too.
He turned him into a trash can. I don't remember.
A piece of ice.
That was a secret costume. It was a secret
costume. I saw a lot of other people being like, this is because like gamers, sent like threats to CDPR. And while you absolutely should never do that, please continue to not do that. I don't think that was it, because I think that that's a very small group. I think that ultimately this was executives and investors and just a bunch of people who were like, let's get Christmas money.
This was the stinky money boys. I think we can all agree it was the big bad money men doing the stinky stuff with that. And just it should the fact that they came out like it's not even like they could be like, oops, we didn't know. It's like they came out on the first week of December and they were like, we've already made back all of our development and marketing costs in just pre-orders alone. And it's like,
that was so gross.
Is that the sound of you doing like a Scrooge McDuck dive into a pile of gold in the background? Right? Like, what is that? Yep. Don't do that.
And that was so gross for them to be like, that was basically just like, that's like looking at the camera at the end of like a heist movie and being like, we really did steal those jewels. Like they told everybody that the heist worked, that like hiding this. So if you go, I was telling Max this, if you go back and you watch the gameplay reveals for the current gen or last gen versions of this game, they're pretty much just walking. Yeah. Like they're just like, Night City is this beautiful. And it's like, can you run? No, but you got to take a look. And can you get on any vehicles and go quickly to take in the sights and sounds in Night City? You'll never know what you'll find. And it was just like, it's like, you guys are, this is robbery. You guys are lying to millions of people. And then putting the refund system on Sony. And then Sony said, screw you. And then CDPR was like, we already got your money. Like, that's the way that worked. It was super gross. And I, like, what sucks is at the end of the day, like, there's a pretty fun game in there.
Like, also, like, this is not the entirety of CDPR. I want to say that, like, the people who worked really hard on this game, I feel legitimately bad for the developers who were pouring their hearts and souls into this incredible, massive world. And then, you know, their bosses came in and they were like, all right, wrap it up, ship this thing, put it out there. And they're like, no, it's not ready yet. And this is like, you know, it's forever going to be tarnished by this horrific launch. And eventually, I think this game will be pretty cool. But at the same time, it really did not stick the landing. And that's a huge bummer. Like that sucks for people who worked really hard on it. And it's just, I don't know. It's also crazy to see a game, to see this, like, this quick of a shift in sort of public opinion, where this basically went from like Skyrim to, no, this went from like, what's the last Bethesda game that wasn't buggy at launch? Now, the sort of public opinion was, it was like, you can do no wrong. Like, people were totally forgiving of like Skyrim and Fallout 3. And then, I don't know, Fallout 76, it seems like when everyone sort of like kind of turned on Bethesda. But to see like the Machine sort of popularity of CDPR being like they could do no wrong. They were there for the gamers. They knew what they were doing. We all have faith. And there's still some people who are like, you know, banging that drum, which is crazy. But like, I don't know, this went a full No Man's Sky. Like, people got pretty pissed about this. Like,
Yeah, I don't think I would have anticipated. I definitely thought no matter what, there would have been not controversy, but some blowback around the game's launch, because I do think there were so many other things before even these current generation console versions came out. Like, there's so much discussion around the game's portrayal of different groups, both like gender identities and racism. Is so much else about its take on what a cyberpunk world actually is. And there were a lot of discussions that I was ready to listen to and have. And then suddenly it has just all become about, wow, that was a bad launch. And wow, they botched that. And they they lied.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could not have come from the future in early 2020 and said, hey, Ray, this game's going to be bad at launch. I would have laughed in your face.
Right.
And then for it to come out the way it did, Well, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised the way 2020 turned out.
Like, if I went to you in like January of 2020 and I'm like, so they're making this like futuristic open world crime game, you've got millions of decisions and stuff like that, and there's police, and sometimes you work with them, but sometimes you fight them too. But if you shoot one in the head and you get in your car, he's like, well, nothing I can do, because they didn't teach them how to chase after you in a car. Like, there's no AI when it comes to driving vehicles and crime. Like, this is something I'm trying to think of, the last open world game that didn't have that. And I can't think of it. Like, and I know it's not GTA. This is not a GTA game, but it's got a lot of stuff that it's like, you're trying to do a little bit of the GTA thing. And so like, I literally can't, maybe I think since the first GTA, if you hit a cop with your car, the other cops would get in a car and chase you. That's what they're supposed to do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and even cops that didn't exist in the game knew that you were a criminal. So
exactly. I think the Simpsons Hit and Run has
better, you know, cop AI.
I don't want to just dunk on this game a bunch, because there's a really cool game in there, but it's trying to do a lot of stuff and then it's not delivering on it. I kept going back to like how Saints Row the Third managed to be, to kind of pull off what it was doing better than it did. And that game came out like six, seven years ago, mm-hmm. 9 years ago. That was 2011.
Oh, wow.
And like that game, I mean, the fact that they have flying vehicles all over the place, but they're just set dressing in cyberpunk was really weird to me. And it's not even one of those things, like when you reach a high level, you suddenly get like a flying car. You just don't, like, that's not a thing. The fact that they put Elon Musk in the game as like a background character, but the cars in the game aren't self-driving, like the car that Elon Musk makes in real life. Like, you can't call an Uber in this game. Like, you have to go to a signpost to fast travel, which just strikes me as like a really odd design choice.
You can't set a waypoint and like just let your car drive.
No. Yeah. I mean, like there's stuff that exists in the real world that doesn't exist in this futuristic video game. And it's, I don't know. I think it puts a lot of the suspension of disbelief is put on the player. It's very much like, use your imagination, bro. You got to role play this. No, you got to role play it. And it's like, Yeah, but you know, like maybe
do I want to?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I think, and like to that effect, like I feel like there's so much more they could have done with that because there are so many things that are just like sort of illusion breaking, and not just game breaking. Like there's literal game breaking bugs constantly. I had a thing that happened with this game where like I played the first few hours as this sort of like stealthy hacker, and I'm like, oh, it's like first person Watchdogs, and you can like infiltrate and do sneaky stuff. And then I was like, something clicked in my head, and I was like, no. Play this like it's like an even stupider Far Cry, and like level up your katana sword and get a lot of grenades and run into everything, and like every time you walk into any room and you stab one guy, they just start playing techno and you're like, yeah, just slice all their heads off. And on PS5, their heads and their arms and legs fly everywhere, and they get stuck in the ceilings, they get stuck in the rafters. It's hilarious. It's honestly some of the most fun I've had playing a video game in a very long time, not necessarily for all the best reasons. And that's it turned into this really fun thing for me. Or like I would just like crash my car into stuff or try to do jumps. You know, if you go mountain climbing in this game, if you go hopping around on the mountain, you'll just explode randomly.
No, I mean,
here's another
selling me on this, which is weird.
Right?
No, like, all right.
I'm telling you guys, like if you're like me, and you appreciate when games get stupid, and you have the opportunity to play this game right now before it gets like before all the weird stuff gets all the, like gets polished and it just becomes like a boring game, play it now. For example, you can get a double jump in this game. Did you know that? It's super fun. You can modify your legs or whatever or your heart to do a double jump. And but the no one in the game who calls you on a phone, which is everyone constantly, knows that you have a double jump. And so every time you're getting a phone call, you can only do a single jump because obviously who would double jump while on a cell phone? And so also, by the way, same cell phones that we have now, but just in the future, but that hasn't changed at all. So if you're going into a mission and you're going to double jump onto the rooftop to start the mission and your friend calls you, you fall. Because it doesn't know what to do. And then you finish the mission and you're like, I better double jump out of here before these guys catch me. And the lady goes, hey, good job back there. You fall because you can't do a double jump while on a phone. Obviously. I mean, obviously not.
That double video jump, and also low. it kind of breaks the, I don't it know totally if it breaks does. The level design or if it makes it like more fun, but there's stuff where it's like, we need you to hack into the CD-ROM or whatever, and you have to like you just jump on the roof and then go through a skylight and you do it and then you just leave. And I was like, that's too easy, you know? Like,
can I want to tell you guys a story of the funniest glitch I've had probably in years, but in that one specifically. So there's a side mission, it's totally optional, where you have to go into Johnny Mnemonic's apartment or whatever and get his guitar. And like it's on like the 70th floor of this building. So you take the elevator all the way up there, and I walk into his living room. Now, this is not a man, he's not alive anymore. This was all revealed in the trailers. Walk into his living room to get his guitar, and there are two NPCs in his living room that just spawned there, and they have merged into each other like a two-headed man. And I didn't know who they were or what they were, if they were bad guys or something. So my gut reaction to what to do with them was what I did with everybody else in the game. So I got my high-level katana and I cut them into pieces, and then all of a sudden cops, like 15 cops, materialized in his bedroom and on his balcony and just started shooting at me. And then robots and drones came in because I started fighting them. So I had this full-on cop war because I killed this Siamese man that was just like in the middle of Johnny's apartment.
That sounds like entrapment.
Yeah.
Wow. Those are the future cops. They could teleport and they're omniscient. They got the minority reporting going on. They did future crimes and they got you.
So the tech actually is true to the time. It just,
yeah,
you're looking at the wrong places. It's not the phone that matters.
No, to go back to the Saints Row thing, that was a game where you could be like, you could adjust your genital size and you could run around hitting people with dildos. This is a game that has dildos everywhere. They had to actually patch the dildos to make less dildos because people noticed like, why are they everywhere? And they're like, we thought it was sexy? Question mark? Like, it's the future. Everyone does more sex. And you're like, okay, but yeah, why are they everywhere? Like, are they people littering? And like, I don't know, you can also be like, you know, upgrade all your hardware. You could be whoever you want to be. It's all about player choice. You can change. You can have a male voice and female genitalia and a male body and robot spider arms or whatever. Saints Row, there was like, you could be like a 400-pound golden woman. And this, it's like, you can have four. I wanted to have blonde hair. I wanted to role play as the Swedish pop star Robin with the Y. I couldn't do that because they didn't have blonde hair and there's no like color slider to adjust your hair, which seemed really odd to me.
You're right.
Like that's just a simple, like really bad games have that in there, you know?
The character creator is weirdly limited for role playing a game.
And then you're locked into that character for the whole game.
Like I can go and get my eyeballs replaced, but I can't get a haircut. Whereas in The Witcher, your beard hair grew in real time and you'd have to go and get beard trimmings.
Well, in Saints Row, they sort of like lured their way around that by being like, oh, there's plastic surgery clinics you can go to, which is completely on brand for this world full of body modifications. And it's just not a thing. Like it
feels bad to like compare a game to other games to be like, it's not doing this thing that other things are doing, but it's not even doing stuff that would make sense that the studio's previous game did. Mm-hmm. Like it's really odd. Like in The Witcher, your horse, like Roach would just follow the road. Am I remembering that right? Like you could
have Roach just follow the road. Yeah. And he would just ride to your next location. You just mark it and he would go. Yeah.
And in this one, the cars don't do that. It's really odd.
Well, I don't know. It's like you said, you have to suspend belief in the game. And that's weird to me. That doesn't make sense. But I mean, as much as I want to like that game, and I'm sure there are people who have found things to like about the game, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just we can all, I think, say that there's a lot to be desired from it still.
And yeah.
Unfortunate, but true. So
yeah. No, there's... I think there's a decent split between people who are mad because it's like a glitchy mess and then people who are mad because it doesn't really deliver on a lot of the stuff that they said it would. And I think that like I'm seeing a mix of both of those things, but then still finding fun in it. And that's the thing. I think a lot of people, I mean, friendly reminder, it is okay to be critical of the things you love or also find things that are good in the things you hate. And so like, I think that's just a healthy attitude to have in general in terms of all things, especially, you know, media that you consume. But if you're playing this game and you like it a lot, that's great. But also understand that maybe people are having some issues with it on a technical level, or people are having issues with it because it didn't really deliver on what they thought they were buying into. But like, I don't know, I'm fully aware that this game is a broken piece of garbage a lot of the times, but it's super fun sometimes too. Yeah,
there's a good game in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's frustrating that the talks about what does and doesn't work there have to be mired with this asterisk of, oh, by the way, it's not available on one of the major platforms and we don't know when it will be. And there are all these questions about when it will be patched, when the PS5 and Xbox Series X versions will come out. They're still working on that multiplayer version component. I assume that's going to get delayed a little bit, but yeah, it is a very, very singular story to me. I really can't think of a game that has had this post-release launch after having such a hype buildup and have this be the fallout of it. And something that we're going to be continuing to talk about all of this year, like Cyberpunk, you know, obviously we talked about it in our end of year considerations at IGN. We're going to be talking about this game probably quite a bit in 2021 because of everything CDPR has ahead of it. So we'll definitely be continuing to cover that on the show, as well as just when the hell it's going to be available on PlayStation again. Hopefully at some point in the future. But until then, I did also want to take a brief look ahead to sort of take stock of where PlayStation is right now going into 2021 and how they can continue the momentum for the PS5. Because there are the launch, I think we can all agree, there were a lot of great games to play there. It was definitely a strange year to launch a video game console in, but it was also a launch mired by stock shortages and weird problems with the hardware and game crashes and all these strange questions that have left us wondering sort of what's going to be Sony's rollout for the future of PS5 while they're also still considering you know, supporting the PS4 and where PSVR fits in that equation. And Ray, I sort of wanted to start off with you as our guest, just to sort of one ask, were you able to get a PS5? Did you try to get a PS5? And what are you most curious to see from, I think, Sony in general, but the PS5 as well in 2021.
Yeah, well, I was very lucky to get a PlayStation 5. I went with the disc version because I was like, yeah, nobody's going to want that. It'll be fine. I'll be able to get one, no problem. And I was sitting and hitting refresh for like 3 hours and finally got one. Thank goodness. Thanks, Target. Nice. I appreciate it. And I really do just want to see what they do with the DualSense. I love that controller. It does, like, when I was playing the Astro's, like, playroom, like, little demo thing, it was like me laughing like a little kid because I was like, this is cool. Like, I can pull a trigger and it feels like it's a rocket ship. That's amazing. I would love to see the other stuff that they are able to do with that. And it seems like such a simple thing, but it really did give me a whole new element of, like, experiencing the games that I was playing, because I'm now getting an actual feeling from things that I'm doing in the game, where it's like it's visual and now it's also kind of this physical connection that I'm like, oh, well, that's actually really interesting, you know. But picking up a box that's heavy, and you know, or trying to pick up something that's too heavy and you can't, and you literally can feel that feedback, and I'm like, oh no, there is something to this. I actually like this. I mean, it's like, all right, well, now bring back all the bows in video games, because I want to feel myself pull the bow in all these games. So I was like, this is great. I love this. But beyond that, just I feel like the exclusive, like, lineup for Sony in general has been phenomenal. I personally haven't had a bad time with one of these first party games in a very long time. And I would love to see that continue, because I mean, Miles Morales, you know, while it was compact, it was wonderful. I think I smiled the entire time playing that game, because it was just so much fun. I frown a lot playing Demon's Souls, because that's different and they want you to frown. But you know, it's like they're done well, and I love that they are good. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, it's all subjective, but like, these are good games, and they hopefully will continue to be good. So with PlayStation VR, I never really got into PlayStation VR. I'll admit that candidly.
Now is the perfect time. What you need to do is you have to go to sony.com/PlayStation VR/PlasticDongleA and then pre-order that, and they'll send you one. And then you'll need a second clip on for your camera. It is, and then just plug in all 19 of the giant snakes that the system comes with. It is the perfect time I'm sorry. It's a huge, it's kind of a pain on the ass.
But I was like, and that's why I didn't get, I was like, wires. And I'm like, I don't want to have to sit that close to my TV. Like, nope, I'm good. And so it's like, I've seen some really cool stuff. I have some friends who have it that love it. And I'm like, how often do you use it? Oh yeah, I use it like once every 4 months.
No, sounds about right.
Well, I think we're gonna get a refresh on that one soon, and it's gonna be really awesome, because there's a lot of really cool games there. I love the hardware when it launched. It's just like I've moved like 3 times since then, and every single time I move, I'm like, wow, that's a lot of wires back there. And this time I was just like, I think I'm gonna put you in a box, maybe donate you to a hospital or something like that.
Yeah.
And then figure out the next thing. You.
VR is awesome.
Yeah.
I want more VR stuff. It's just that I needed to be more accessible in a lot of ways first.
Yeah.
The Oculus Quest, I have one of those kicking around, and it's very cool, aside from having to use a Facebook account to log into it. But like, it's been really interesting seeing all of these games. Like, we just got a Medal of Honor game in VR. We've gotten a bunch of little Star Wars experiences. There's the Vader one, and there's the Tales from Galaxy's Edge one, and then there's, you know, I think what they announced, they're doing a Splinter Cell in VR. Like, there's a bunch of, I don't know if it's full blown, you know, capital AAA stuff, but it's AAA franchises being kind of squeezed into a VR space. And I feel like if we do get a PSVR 2, it's going to have a really strong launch lineup.
Yeah, for sure.
That's exciting to think about. And if there's just one, I don't know, if there's like one long cable that comes out of your PlayStation 5 and plugs into it, and it doesn't give you a headache to wear it, then that's, that's exciting.
Non-headache inducing gaming is always a preference. Yeah.
And Ray, as to what you were saying about the DualSense and like upcoming stuff, I have a feeling that it's going to be like amazing in Ratchet and Clank. I feel like those guys, because I was the same with you, just like even having Astro Boy run around on like or whatever, Astro, yeah, not Astrobot. Astrobot. Yeah, like having him walk in the glass and it's like ding, 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 ding. It's like, so cool.
Cool. I love that. So
it's a stupid little thing, but it just made me so happy. Like, I mean, just loved it so much.
Ratchet and Clank, the name of that game is two like sound effects, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You can make a ratchet and a clank using the DualSense. Like, that's going to be.
That'll ratchet is actually an adjective that people use to
describe. Also true. Versatile word.
And Ratchet is a new Netflix series that apparently is very bad.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And immensely popular.
Yeah.
The perfect combo on Netflix.
You taught me something, all right? I don't know about that, but yeah. I don't know. I'm just really excited to see what Sony does just in general. There's a lot of potential for a lot of really cool stuff. And mm-hmm. I want all of it now because I'm impatient. So
do you guys think they're gonna, like, there's gonna be messaging anytime soon about like a plan for hardware rollout? Because it feels like chaos right now. Like, it's very sporadic. Like, there's just like random supply drops will hit like a Target or a Walmart, and you'll see like a tweet from Sony every now and then being like, there's a couple more that we found in the back of the car. But for the most part, like, they haven't straight up been like, hey, here's the next round. Like, I think they really need to start treating these things like there's a, I have no idea how their supply chain works, but yeah. If they said once a month, like on this day, you know, these will be ready and we're going to release this many, like, that would be interesting.
We got an email into beyond@ign.com just a couple hours before recording, and I thought it was a spam email at first because I've been getting a lot of like, you need to vote, even though I don't live in Georgia, emails with all like lower capped. There's no proper spacing or anything. But anyway, the email headline was just, it just sucks. And I'm like, I've seen that headline before, definitely. But Jay wrote into beyond@ign.com and said, I know you guys have talked about a lot on the show, but I can't overstate how frustrating it is to still be waiting for the PS5 as someone who saved pennies all year and has jumped at every rumored stock release. It just sucks to be left money in hand time and time again. I can go purchase a backordered refrigerator from Home Depot, but for some reason no one over at Sony is keen to run my credit and send me a console when they turn up. It seems like there are ways to improve the situation that neither Sony nor its partners are interested in entertaining on behalf of their customers. Incidentally, Microsoft has not had a better time with its own console release. Our pain probably just feeds the hype machine, I guess, but I'm just in no mood to celebrate PlayStation as we move into 2021. It just sucks right now. And I totally, you know, obviously we all were fortunate enough and absolutely lucky enough to be able to get one during all of those times. And obviously we've talked about on the show, we did have consoles that were provided by Sony on the IGN side, but we also all purchased our own individual consoles because the couple that we got from Sony are IGN consoles. They are not ours personally to have. They, as Max, you know, talked about, that one switched hands between you and Lucy and other people for recordings and everything. So we were all fortunate enough to be able to get our hands on it, but so many people have not been able to, and it's not for a lack of trying. And it's, I totally agree with you, Brian. It's just there needs to be some better way to message this, but the way Sony has been recently in terms of its messaging, I don't know if we can expect that. Like, and that sucks. I want them to do better, and I think they should be, but at least right now I'm not anticipating them to be forthright when it comes to saying, here's our plan for upping the stock, or here's the, you know, month we anticipate our supply chain is going to be improved, or even just something vague enough to give hope in those ways.
Yeah, we got like vague hardware sell-through numbers from the November MPD in December based on like the launch data, but I don't know what that's going to look like for December, because it's like, it doesn't, you know, I'm sure they sold every single console that they made. Every single one. Yeah. But I don't know how many that is. Like, this, it's still not, it's, you know, we're going on 2 months now. And you can't walk into a store and buy one, and you don't know when you can pre-order one or anything like that. So,
I mean, the refrigerator comment is a good point, because there's plenty of things where it's not like it's a limited run. Like, it's not like they made, you know, 3 million PS5s and that was going to be it. Like, it's not like a pressing of vinyl or like a, you know, a collectible or something, or wine. Like, they're going to continue to make them. So you'd think that they would have somewhere in the supply chain, you'd be able to like, not, it's not pre-ordering it. It's the same logic behind pre-ordering it, but like post-ordering it.
Yes, yeah, it's back-ordered. You know, it's as simple as that. It's like, hey, all right, yeah, I bought this thing. It's just back-ordered. Like, you do that on Amazon now, you know. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it with Pokemon cards all year, but still, it's like, oh yeah, I bought this thing, but it's backordered, and they'll ship it to me when it's available.
Right.
I also could see something like that would be very useful to folks, because I have so many friends like, man, yeah, I want one. I just literally cannot find one. to people who
Like a line.
They want it. They just can't get it. And that's
it's crazy. Like a line system or something, right? Like, you know, like if you go into like a butcher shop, you get like one of those paper numbers and you stand there for an hour. The waiting room from Beetlejuice. Like, I mean, there's a lot of places that have figured this out.
Well, because right now, otherwise, it's like if you miss the, you know, Sony PlayStation Direct email on like a Friday at 2 p.m. and you don't get in the queue on their website in 30 seconds, then you don't get one. Like that. That's sort of the drop system at the moment. And absolutely, there's like. There are precedents in other industries, maybe on smaller scales, but like there is a way to make it a more transparent situation for people who are going into this year not knowing if they'll be able to get a PlayStation in January or in December.
And again, this is all based on the timeline of the initial launch for this thing in terms of pre-orders was botched completely because Sony was like, you can do this tomorrow morning, and Walmart or whatever was like, no, you can't, you can do it right now. Everybody else was like, let's do
mm-hmm. Well, and that day. speaking of messaging though, I did want to ask what you all think, because obviously we're going into this year like, you know, 2020 began and everyone thought things would be normal and we'd have all the events we would have and things would kind of roll out in the familiar way. Obviously that didn't go to plan, and we're looking at 2021 hoping things get better, but knowing what this reality is like and knowing that if we have to adjust to that, we'll probably have a lot more remote presentations and less in-person events, especially during the first half of the year until vaccines become any sort of prevalent thing. So my question for all of you is, do you foresee state of play becoming a bigger aspect of what Sony does, or are we going to continue to see it sort of as this weird just catch-all thing that occasionally it's about one game, occasionally it debuts the trailer for their most anticipated game of the year, sometimes it's on a Saturday morning, sometimes it's not. Like, well, do you think state of play needs to be more regulated? Can it be this really malleable thing? Does it need to be improved, especially like in relation to Nintendo Directs and whatnot? Where do you all see state of play, I think? What is the state of play, really?
I would love it if they just did it regularly. Like, I love it if it was just a thing that happened every month, like a magazine subscription, and they put whatever was in there. But it was at least something, you know, I think that expectations would be a lot more manageable. I mean, like when, you know, some months like Game Informer has like a world premiere reveal cover, and other times they're like, here's a game you've known about for a year and a half. Like, we've just got new details, you know, like it's do something like that. And just, I mean, they just recently stopped doing the drop, which was the sort of, you know, weekly breakdown of everything coming to PSN, and which covers a lot of smaller games. And we've seen them do, you know, state of plays where they cover, you know, smaller tidbits of stuff. But like it would be great. Like, you know, fan service, they have an entire platform to debut it on. Like, they wouldn't just have to put it on, you know, the PlayStation YouTube or the PlayStation blog, like put it on the dashboard. Like, one of the first times I turned on my PS5, like they had that Demon's Souls state of play. And it was weird to just be like, oh, like I guess I'll just watch this here, and there it is. And it was super straightforward and simple. But I mean, you know, maybe that would, I just think that would be really fun. You know, it'd be nice to be something to look forward to consistently. And if they want to, you know, they'd have our attention.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, we are now in this space where digital communication is more important than ever, mostly because, you know, we can't go anywhere. You shouldn't be going anywhere. And it's one of those things where I would love to have something to look forward to, some form of information where it's like, all right, from the horse's mouth, this is what's happening. This is what's coming out. This is official source.
Great name for the series.
Yes, PlayStation 5, straight from the horse's mouth.
Sony Pony is here.
Sony Pony has arrived. There you go. You did it. It should just be like a,
we figured it out.
Animatronic horse. What's happening?
Herman, if you're listening, please call us.
We'll talking Sony Pony.
Yes.
But like, I just want to say, like, that's the type of like funny thing I wish Sony would be willing to do more of. Like, we've kind of lost the personable Sony a little bit.
Well, I mean, so. I feel like we kind of it became a lot more business and less fun. Honestly, I'll be very honest. It's like, video games are fun. It was supposed to be fun. This is all we're all about, having fun. That's what they're for, I think, you know. And so, I miss that. I really do. It was like, oh yeah, give us some wacky like side videos that you make about, you know, a big game coming out, you know, put Ratchet and Clank in Wall Street or something. I don't know. Like, let's have some fun with it, but also be real with us. Tell us what's happening, because I mean, there's going to be information regardless. And the more actual information we have, the less speculation we get.
Yeah, I think that like the big issue with state of play right now is it's just sort of completely inconsistent, not only in terms of like its duration or you know, like how many times it's actually out, but what it is. Like sometimes it's hyper focused on one game, sometimes it's scattered across seven or eight games. And I think that one of the ways that they've circumvented having to kind of worry about people getting too hyped for them is that they've surprise launched them. Nintendo's done that too. I think that works really well because it lets you manage your expectations a little bit. But yeah, I'm totally with you guys. I would love to see like my perfect version of state of play is like it's a big game with a couple of small games, and then it ends and there's the one more thing surprise. And if you have to do that 3 times a year, 4 times a year, cool. But just sort of like start that cadence, right? And like get that ball rolling where people can start to be like, okay, it's been this long since the last state of play. Statistically, we can expect this one this week. What do we expect to be in it? Like that would be really cool. I think that like Ray, you nailed it, and Max, you nailed it. Like it's about consistency and it's about messaging. And especially right now when this is the only way to kind of get the message out, you know, there's no show floor demos, there's no big press conferences, live shows or anything like that. Just be like, hey, we're doing this every once a season or once every 2 months or something, and be like, here's a look at a new game, here's a look at a game that you already were excited for, and then here's 2 or 3 indies and VR games. Boom.
Yeah, there's there is definitely I think you all said it, but especially Ray, you had mentioned, you know, like we need to get comfortable with having digital communication kind of be the focal point of what we do. And I think figuring out a regular cadence, and whether it is a coming up with like 3 or 4 big ones a year or a monthly one that's smaller, like whatever they need to do, they do. I agree. Just need to figure out something for it, because right now state of play does feel superfluous in a way. And it's so strange because we're going into a year that quite possibly could be one of the best like Sony first party years ever. Like we're looking at Ratchet and Clank and God of War and Horizon Forbidden West and Gran Turismo and Returnal and more. And it's like, where is the generating the hype for that stuff starting? Because it really does feel like basically just every day goes by and the most of the news is Corey Barlog joking on Twitter that he's never heard of God of War, and you know, people wondering how long the launch window is for when Ratchet and Clank is going to come out. It's a weird time, and I do think like sooner rather than later they need to get out and say, here's what we have coming and here's when you can expect some of that stuff and here's a realistic expectation, and not reading the fine print in an end of year trailer to see that Gran Turismo is actually not scheduled for the first half of the year anymore.
Mm-hmm. It would hurt nobody for them to be just a little honest. Like just tell us, it wouldn't hurt nobody. I'm serious. Nobody would get hurt. And if they did, I'm sorry. But hopefully nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, the most honest I have seen Sony recently was when there was that tweet they put out after the botched pre-order system where they were just like, we're sorry that happened that way. That wasn't the intention. We're going to be more open about this. And then there wasn't really any follow-up. But that was so refreshing. I just want more of that, because like there is so much to be excited about, but it's mired in uncertainty about when people are going to be able to get the consoles and when people are going to get these games and when they can see more of these things, especially if hands-on possibilities and preview opportunities ahead of time are going to be limited in the year ahead. I think setting expectations only benefits the developer sanity, the player sanity, the you know, like shareholder it only benefits everyone to have some sort of expectations in check. So we'll have to see. Briefly before we move on, I know I had mentioned for people to put a few of these together, but Ray, I just want to mention, since you haven't been on the show before and haven't had a chance to talk about this, what in particular for 2021 are you most looking forward to playing, either PlayStation exclusive or outside of the exclusive lineup?
Well, like I said before, a lot. I'm looking forward to playing a lot of video games because they've teased us with a lot of really good stuff, but just some of the ones that I was like, no, which ones do I really, really, really want to play? Scarlet Nexus came to mind because I love anime and anime looking things. Deathloop, for sure. I have been waiting on pins and needles for Deathloop for a very long time, and I need that. Monster Hunter Rise, because I love Monster Hunter as well. I definitely need that. But yeah, God of War. The new God of War have a very special place in my heart, and I absolutely cannot wait for any information about that whatsoever. I need all of it. So those are just a few. I mean, I could keep going, but I feel like I should.
No, I mean, I totally feel you in terms of like there is just so much to look forward to. Like it's I think 2020, we talked about this on the end of your show. Like it was a terrible year, but a pretty good year for video games.
Surprisingly, yeah.
And go ahead, Brian.
No, I was gonna say, I actually like just like an hour ago just tweeted out like a whole thread of like games I'm excited for this year and just put up screenshots of all of them. And it was just like this awesome reminder that like this year's full of really cool stuff, but also stuff that's like visually all over the place. Like there's a lot of like action platforming 2D pixel art games, and there's, you know, like Lego Star Wars. Like I'm so excited for that. There's Far Cry 6. But Resident Evil Village or 8 is probably my most anticipated right now because it feels like it's the closest. I really liked a lot of what 7 was doing, and this game, like, I just keep hearing like, oh, it takes the best parts of 7 and 4 and combines them into a new game, and I'm like, yes, that's extremely my world right there. Cyber Shadow, do you guys know about that game?
Oh yes.
Yeah, so it's a like Yacht Club, who did Shovel Knight, is basically like co-producing a like throwback Ninja Gaiden style like action platformer hack and slash game. It's like just old school chunky pixel art. It looks super fun. I played it at a PAX back when that was a thing that we were allowed to do. But yeah, that game looks awesome. I'm super excited for it.
The music sounds incredible.
Oh, dude, yeah. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good.
Need that.
And Max, what about you?
Well, Brian and I are best friends for a reason, so I'm going to say Resident Evil 8 and Lego Star Wars as well. I totally forgot also Far Cry 6. I really hope Far Cry 6 feels like an actual, like, they don't need to reinvent the wheel, but I hope it feels like significantly next gen-ish, you know, like it's doing something new. I mean, if they even have like, if it's got like ray tracing and like cool stuff with the triggers on the DualSense, I'll be pretty happy about that. I'm also just excited that it seems like it's kind of in a tropical locale again, which gives me Far Cry 3 vibes, which is one of my favorites ever.
Apparently it has like dense urban areas now, like cities basically.
I'm wary about that, but I'm also just, it doesn't seem like they're doing the weird like post-apocalyptic thing they tried with
New Dawn, which was
weird. Yeah, I'm just looking at like games coming out next year, and there's a bunch that I think I assumed were coming out this last year, but I guess they got pushed. Kind of curious about Hitman 3. Deathloop obviously looks awesome. God, there's a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. Riders Republic, I really want to try that because that's that weird, like, it looks like if they made Steep and Trials have a baby and then adopted the like the Far Cry Insanity format and just like people, it's Motor Storm without motors. Like it's totally just people taking vehicles down a mountain in like a race, which is just, that's dumb as hell, and I'm into it. You know,
I want to try. I'm all about that. Yeah, like let's put stuff with, you know, wheels and go down a real big hill. I'm about that. Yeah,
I was actually just thinking about that game yesterday for some odd reason because I was playing playing Mario Kart 8, and there's that level where it's called like Wario's Horrible Mountain or whatever. Oh yeah. And there's no laps. You just go down this just gigantic mountain that it's just got all sorts of nonsense in it, and caves and tunnels and lifts and jumps. And there's just chaos everywhere. And there's like toads and, you know, people screaming at you. And like, I was like, oh yeah, Ubisoft's making a whole game like this. Yeah. Like where you can dress up as like drunk animals and like go, you know, parasailing down a cliff while a guy snowboards into your face. I'm into that.
I'm also curious about Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2. I hate the title because it just keeps going. But I hope that does some of the stuff that sort of Cyberpunk was promising.
Same.
I mean, it's seems like it's considerably smaller scale, and it also keeps getting kicked down the road, so it could be a complete disaster. But like, I don't know, like messing around in Seattle as a vampire sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, you know? Hopefully. Obviously there have been some pretty big delays for it, but hopefully it comes out in good shape when it shows up next year. I know a few people on staff were very excited for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no shortage of stuff. January is definitely a little lighter, but with Cyber Shadow and Hitman 3 this month, like January is off to a pretty decent start, and I think it's only going to continue to get busier from there. So it's a very exciting year that hopefully You know, delays notwithstanding, we'll still have plenty of big games to talk about as we get in the months to come.
I'm going to hazard a guess here and just say that the biggest games of 2021, a lot of them we don't know about yet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, like I mean, I don't know. We get lots of teasers and stuff, but
I'll also say, speaking of Ubisoft, don't sleep on Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, game. Yeah, that's this month.
The official.
Don't sleep with him either, because he'll break your heart.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I've never had a lot in my life. But, but no, I love that game, and I'm excited to get to play that again. It's been so long.
It's such a fun beat 'em up, and it's so much fun in local co-op. And it got like arbitrarily delisted over the years, like many licensed games do. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. But it's back in like 2 weeks. So I'm very, very excited to play that one again.
Yeah, that one comes out January 14th. Sorry, Red, go ahead.
Oh, nice. No, yeah, even sooner.
That's real soon, which is awesome. I was about to say, I forgot. Baldur's Gate 3. Can't wait for the finished version of that. Ooh, I need that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do we know if that's coming to consoles? Eventually, it probably will, but
I think eventually, yeah. They're like, we're working on PC, and then we'll get to other stuff. But
it's on Stadia,
there too. So yeah.
That one looks really scary. I waited on early access for that one, if only because I wanted to sort of see when we had an idea of when the full one will come out to know when to jump in. But yeah, I've heard a lot of really fun stuff about that one. Excited for that as well. But yeah, I personally just wanted to mention Psychonauts 2. And Little Nightmares too. I'm looking forward to a lot this year. But yeah, it is a very cool looking year, and I totally agree with Max. I think, you know, this time last year we didn't know about Miles, we didn't know about obvious games, but like Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Immortals, stuff like that. Or I guess we knew about Gods and Monsters, but it's different. Anyway, there were a lot of games we didn't know about that really, really were awesome to see in 2020. So hopefully that also is the case in 2021. Before we wrap up, I did want to make sure we didn't let the first episode of the year go without a memory card. Memory card, of course, is our weekly segment where you, the viewers and listeners at home, write in with your wacky, weird, funny, sad, whatever memories of your video gaming life, usually PlayStation related, but sometimes not. And we read those on the show. This week, though, of course, Ray, since you are our guest, I want to give the floor to you. If you wanted to provide a memory card story, we'd love to hear one.
Oh, I mean, I do have one. I mean, I've been a listener for a very long time, which is still kind of surreal to me because I remember listening to this all through college, essentially. It's like, oh, okay. And I told my wife, I was like, oh, yeah, I'm being on Podcast Beyond tomorrow. She's like, I actually know what that one is. What? Yeah, I know. That's crazy. But just a very fond memory that I have of gaming and PlayStation specific is I remember, you know, when we were kids, you used to get one video game. Like, you know, my parents were like, all right. I'll take you in so you can get my dad. You can get one game. And this is like your game for like the next 6 months. I don't know how long. And, PlayStation 3.
The pressure. I remember that.
That was like, this is a whole store full of games that I get one. Okay. I'm like, all right, I'm going to pick a game. How did you pick games then? I mean, I didn't really know how to use the internet. What case looks cool? I'm going to go pick a case that looks pretty, you know, pretty like, all right, that looks great. And I picked up Demon Souls. It's like, hey, this looks great. I'm gonna go play this game. This looks awesome. And I get home, I install the game and I start playing it. And I start playing it and it's beating the bejesus out of me. And I'm like, is this game really this different? Am I just bad at video games? Like, this is when I started like questioning my existence as like a video gamer. I was like, am I really bad at games? Like, what is wrong? I get to the armored spider, cannot beat the armored spider. I get so frustrated. I go to my mom, I'm like, this game's broken. Can we take it back? I kid you not. I'm like, she's like, what's wrong with it? I'm like, it don't work no more. I don't know what happened. That's crazy. We still got the receipt. Can we take it back? I go back and I get Infamous, which was a great idea. So, that was a good time.
That is amazing. I absolutely remember.
That's a great story. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
That, like going in, and it was just like looking at the shelves and being like, what looks cool and what am I going to take the risk on?
Mm-hmm. When I was like 5 years old, I decided to attempt shoplifting, but I couldn't read yet. And so I accidentally stole a bunch of really sour candy. And I like snuck off in the bathroom, like, I'm going to eat my pilfered sweets. And I put it in my mouth and I was like, oh, ah, spat it in the toilet. And I was like, I'm never stealing again. This is punishment.
That's a great lesson to learn.
I know. For Demon's Souls, I don't know. That's Demon's Souls' fault, man. You should have.
If I was like your mom at the time, I would have looked you dead in the eyes and been like, stolen candy always turns sour.
That would have been amazing.
That's
right. Ray, I like the idea of like you and your mom at Best Buy, and she's like, we have to return this. And you're like, it's not working. And she's like, he can't beat the armored spider.
So my mom was a gamer, so that would have actually been hilarious.
That's amazing. Oh god, yeah. It's I definitely had those moments where I was like, the game is broken. It has to be, it's the game's fault. It's not
the game won't let me.
Yeah.
This game's cheating, you know.
Yeah, the modern equivalent of that now is when I'm playing a multiplayer game and I'm like, oh, it must be a bot. It just there's no way. Yeah, it's definitely a bot. But no, Ray, thank you so much for sharing that story. I really appreciate it. And hopefully the newer Demon Souls, hopefully you're able to beat the armored spider.
I bought it just specifically to get revenge on the armored spider.
Did you just roll into that tunnel? You were like, I'm back.
I'm back. A lot of bad words.
And then you hide behind that one pillar and you just cheese it.
Remember me?
Well, I'm back. All right.
Pillars are a man's best friend. So yeah, that is, oh my God. Well, Ray, thank you so much for sharing that story. And thank you for joining us for this episode. It was absolutely a blast to have you on. Really appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you so much for asking. I was like,
that. Yeah, you were awesome. Wow. You got to come back soon, man. This is so much fun.
This is, I truly wanted like it's a bucket list thing for me. It's like, wow, what? Okay. I'll be to be on podcast now. Cause seriously, I remember many late nights procrastinating homework listening to this show. So,
well, we're extremely happy to have you on. It was a total blast to get to talk with you on this episode. And yeah, just as Brian said, absolutely going to have you back on soon. This was a total joy. For those, though, in the meantime, before we next have you back on, for people who are trying to find you, I know you had mentioned at the top of the show, but where can people find you on Twitter, on Twitch, wherever you want to point people toward?
I mean, you can find me most places as Ray Apollo, RayApollo, but I focus on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. That's usually kind of where I put a bulk of my stuff, and where I'm having a good time generally. So if you love talking about video games, you love anime, and just having a good time, look me up, because that's usually what I'm doing.
And definitely encourage everyone out there to I saw your stuff for the first time sometime last year, and it's been a joy to be following you since then. So thank you for being on the show and taking the time to be with us. We'll definitely have to have you back on soon. Yeah. But other than that, Brian and Max, anything you guys want to point people to? I know it's the beginning of the year, so totally understand if nothing's quite
old yet. I piloted a new show called Reviews and Review, which we decided to send out to die on the last day before everyone went to break. But basically, it was kind of a roundup of all of the reviews from December and just sort of put them in like a little speed run, you know, variety pack. And I wrote it and shot it and edited myself. So it was real big boy stuff to do. And I threw a bunch of like really weird details in there. So go check that out. I think it went up on like the 26th or something, but it's Reviews and Review, and hopefully we do more of them. We'll find out. Who knows?
And Brian, anything from your corner?
No.
Fair enough. In the meantime, for me, yeah, I just want to definitely point out the Bloodborne episode. If you haven't watched it, please go ahead and check that out. It's on the Beyond YouTube and on IGN.com, so you can go watch that. It is a very, very fun episode. And if you like watching me play Soulsborns, I do that a bunch on Twitch, so you can go follow me over there. But in the meantime, that's going to be pretty much the end of this episode of Podcast Beyond. Thank you, Max and Brian, for joining me as always. And thank you, Ray, for joining us for this episode. Really appreciate it. And thank you to everyone out there for listening and watching. Happy New Year. Happy Tuesday. Happy Wednesday. Happy whatever day it is you're listening to this. We hope you're safe. We hope you're well. And as always, beyond.
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 There we go.
Yeah.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.